The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I used the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome, welcome everyone to another episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. We want to welcome you into this special episode. We're going to be talking about your very own manager, Alex Cora, some probable landing spots for him in 2025, and some dark horses as well. We've put together a little list there for you guys, so we're going to be going through that on the show. I am your host, Jason Kelly, coming to you from Canton, Massachusetts. And on the show with me for this one, coming from Boca Raton, Florida, by way of Centerville, Mass., is Jeremy Schilling. Jeremy, how's it going?
I don't love this topic because I want Alex Cora as my manager, but otherwise, I am doing pretty good.
I know, you're going to have to really soldier through this one. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Also with us on the show from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, by way of Windham, Maine, is Terry Cushman. Terry, how are you?
Not too bad. I may get up halfway through to go start my car to drive Alex Cora to the airport.
I was wondering where you were going with that. That was pretty good, Derek.
It's a Chevy Sonic, so it's like a glorified go-kart, but whatever.
Well, yeah, as we said, we're going to be talking about Alex Cora and where he may be headed next, because it feels like it's certainly not going to be here. I think we can all pretty much agree on that. So we've put together a short list of some teams that we think are likely destinations, and then some that you may not expect to be on this list. So we're going to dive right in. This first team on the list, I think, is a little bit of an unexpected one. We went with the Miami Marlins. So Jeremy, I'm going to lead you off. How do you feel about Alex Cora potentially going to the Marlins next year?
So to start, I think where Alex Cora is going to go is dependent on a team that is good this year that underperforms late. And management thinks that Alex Cora is the guy that ties it together and gets the talent over the top. So I don't think he's going to go to a team that's not contending. And so I would add any number of talented competitive teams into September, likely even October, that, you know, there's some terrible decision. Lack of game management in a big game, could be a playoff game where they say, let's go get this guy. He's been with the Astros when they won a World Series. He's been with the Red Sox, and he was the manager as a World Series. So took him to another ALCS. You know, now with that said, as to the Marlins, I give it a 0.0% chance. I know they're super athletic. I know they've got a couple of really good young arms. And I know they're facing some injuries to some key young arms and all that, but this team's not competitive, and I don't see why Alex Cora would go there to be in a similar position that he is now. With that said, if he gets a huge contract, I mean, I think, you know, money talks and he could go anywhere, but if it's not just about the last dollar in the contract, I don't have this as a serious landing point.
Terry.
I just came across a mind-blowing stat. How many times in the history of the Miami Marlins franchise, which is not that old, it's about 30 years old, how many times do you think they've won their division?
Zero?
I was going to say once.
Zero.
Wow.
Both years they won the World Series, they got in via the wild card. But anyway, so this is a dumpster fire front office, and they put together a nice farm. They built a nice rotation, which was good because, you know, on the heels of losing a guy like Jose Fernandez, you know, they were able to still kind of build it. And then they sold off the entire farm just to make the postseason one time. I don't count 2020 because there were eight teams on both sides. Doesn't count. 2023, they snuck into a wild card and then got bounced right away. And they now have a bottom five farm system. And they weirdly tried to get Kim Ng. They tried to demote her within the front office. And then she didn't want to go along with the new philosophy. She ended up stepping down and leaving the organization, then promptly telling the Red Sox she wasn't interested in talking to them. I think she's also good friends with Alex Cora. I think I've read that previously. And I just don't see this as an appealing destination. I think he loves the city of Boston far more than Miami, despite any connections he might have. I mean, I think Boston is truly home to him as far as being in the United States. So Miami, they're not going to be competitive for a while again. And I don't think he wants to waste. I mean, he's almost 50, you know, he'll be in his mid 50s by the time they're competitive, if they even do it right. And like I said, they've never even won a division. So
yeah, this may be the darkest of the dark horses, but I think there's a little bit of a Miami connection. He did play at University of Miami, so he's got some connection there. I could see this, maybe not if he goes there as a manager, but if he gets a front office role. Like that's how I could see him going to Miami. If he's really sort of at that point where he says, you know what, managing's not for me anymore. I kind of want to just, you know, be in the front office and not be in the dugout every day. Because it is a team that needs a lot of work. And I think Alex Cora, I think there's rumblings of him sort of wanting to get some front office roles at some point in his career. I think he wanted some of that here in Boston, and that was shut down pretty quick. So I could see it in that regard. And Miami's just a team that they need to get a real GM and a real manager. And they keep trying to mess around with it. They spend money at the wrong times, and then they blow up their farm system at the wrong times. It's just, they've never been able to really time it right. So I just figure Cora might give them some stability, but I do agree it's probably pretty far down the list.
If Cora goes there to be the head of baseball operations, he's out of his mind. The ownership is a dumpster fire, starting with the building of the building. I live in South Florida. It makes absolutely no sense where they built it. It is a great place to watch a game. I'll give them that. Through how they handled Giancarlo Stanton, Yelich, the Jeter thing. Like, ownership has no bleeping clue what they're doing. And if he's going there thinking they're going to support what he's doing, he's out of his mind. So I if he wants to be a GM, I think it's even less of a, like less than zero. Never going to happen. He's too smart. He's too calculated. He knows baseball. It's just that organization is just a bleep show. They have no idea what they're doing.
And a couple other notes. So Derek Jeter left the organization as an owner because the principal owner refused to allocate money for Nick Castellanos, which wouldn't have been a ton of money. I think he signed for $100 million in Philly over 5 years. This is my favorite. This is like peak shit show for the Marlins. 2015, they fire Mike Redman after less than 10 games, and they had just extended him to a 3 or 4 year deal. His replacement was the GM himself, made himself the manager. That's Dan Jennings. Don't confuse him. There was a player at the same time. He was a relief pitcher named Dan Jennings, pitched for Tampa for a while. But who does that? Could you imagine Heim Bloom? And Jennings had no baseball. He was never a baseball player at any level. So it was a goofy move, and it didn't work. But could you imagine Heim Bloom saying, you know what? I'm not getting it done upstairs. Let me go into the dugout, and I'll fix this team. It's just...
Well, what's even more incredible is the ownership allowing it to happen.
Yeah.
Who's... I mean, are we asleep at the switch here?
Yeah.
It's Homer Simpson at the nuclear plant. It's terrible. There's no chance.
Yeah, so... Feel bad for Marlins fans. It was cool they won a couple titles there a while ago, but Dave Dombrowski was the guy who won the first one with them.
Yep. So, yeah, agreed. Probably too dysfunctional to happen, hence why they're towards the bottom of the list. This one maybe a little more realistic. The currently last place Houston Astros. Terry, how do you feel about that?
A month ago, I would say no chance. They just hired Joe Espada, who is, I think he was their bench coach for years and years. So it was a popular internal move, and this is his first year. And a month ago, I would have said no chance. But looking at their 7-16 start, which is like... When was the last time the Astros were in last place? I think 2014, literally. So, given their bad start, and Alex Cora is suddenly available, I could see it happening. I could see it happening more now than I could have a little while ago. And look at the Cubs. They liked David Ross. They were completely happy with him. And then Craig Counsell became available. And guess what? They had to have Craig Counsell. I would want Craig Counsell. And they gave him a record contract. And out of nowhere, Ross was out. And David Ross will manage somewhere again. I'm wondering if it'll be in Boston. It'd be weird for them to go with that catcher and not Veritech. But there is a relationship between Breslow and Ross. And Breslow and Ross were teammates on that team. Like, Breslow literally used to pitch to David Ross. So that I kind of got off the tracks with that. But as far as the Astros go, I think they got a puncher's chance to land him if he wants to go there. And it's a short flight across the Gulf of Mexico to Puerto Rico. So I
love it. And I think it's the most likely destination because he's been in the organization. He was, I believe, the bench coach when they won at least one World Series title and when they got popped for cheating. And he was dragged into the mud on that. The Red Sox rehiring Alex Cora makes this possible because there has been absolutely zero blowback. No one talks about it. And by the way, I don't think they should, you know, so Cora gets suspended. He's now the Red Sox manager. He's found success. Suspension serves a suspension. They put a body in place, cardboard cutout, bring him right back. No issues. No one's had a problem with it. So there's the hurdle to going back to where the harm happened to me is, I don't think it's a thing. The only concern I have is, and we talked about this, I think, last week, how you build your organization and how the Astros have done it, which is basically just wait for minor league talent to get to the big leagues and then go is kind of rare. More detail in last week's episode. But the roster's starting to age a little bit. Altuve's older. I don't think he's going to be an elite player for much longer. So maybe that's a concern for him. But if they continue to flounder, and they're not going to finish in last place. But if they don't make the playoffs, then, you know, it's a situation where they could move on and create a spot. Unfortunately, Alex Cora is going to be available. So I think it's interesting. I really do. And I think it's the most likely landing spot.
I think it'd be a very good landing spot for him. There's some players on that team right now that have familiarity with him, Altuve and Bregman. Bregman was a second-year player when Cora was the bench coach that year they won the World Series. So he has some familiarity in that locker room. He's basically got, you know, the closest, you know, a guy in Yordan Alvarez who could be his very own version of David Ortiz if he really rounds into form. I'm sure Cora would love to have that guy in the middle of his lineup. There hasn't been any bad blood or any blowback from the quote-unquote cheating scandal. I don't think there would be a perception problem for Cora if he were to go back to Houston and become their manager, because I don't think people really would talk about it that much. Some people might, some people in certain sects might talk about it, but it's not as bad as if like AJ Hinch goes back there or if Carlos Beltran ever becomes a manager there. I think Cora taking that job, you're not going to get that weird public perception kind of thing going on. So I think it'd be a good fit for him. Given the way things are going for them right now, they may be in the market for a new manager quicker than people think. It's going to be interesting to see if they can dig themselves out of this last place start. But yeah, I mean, he's got familiarity with the organization, and you know, if he wants to be part of a team that still has a good pipeline and still has established talent that he can, you know, win with, then Houston's a great option.
Oh, go ahead, Jeremy.
And just quickly, I mean, management supports the program. When it comes to August and they need to supplement the roster, they spend some money and they go get the veteran and they do it. So if you're competitive, you know, opposite of the Marlins, they're going to support you. They're going to sign players. They're going to, you know, they're going to do those things that make you competitive on a consistent basis.
Stole my thunder a little bit there, but how I was going to frame it was Jim Crane is the anti-John Henry. And Crane, to a degree that would make me uncomfortable if I'm an Astros fan, does kind of meddle with things a little bit. Like they wanted, was it Wilson Contreras? Is he the former Chicago catcher? Yeah, so they wanted him, and they were going to give up, I think they were going to put Urquidy in that deal, and Crane didn't want to give up Urquidy, so he himself stepped in and vetoed the trade, and then they ended up getting Christian Vasquez from the Red Sox, and then Vasquez gets there, and none of the pitchers want to pitch to him. They all like Maldonado, so it was a weird situation, but Crane does want to win, and unlike John Henry. The other thing that's interesting here is I had this theory for a couple of years that Dusty Baker was only going to be in Houston until Hinch's contract ran up with the Tigers. And I thought AJ Hinch would go back, but shockingly, he signed an extension in Detroit and I can't get the terms on it. I just checked a couple of sites, but the quote from the GM there was he would be there for a very long time. So that tells me probably at least a 4 or 5 year extension. And the interesting thing for Hinch is this is his second front office since getting to Detroit, because Al Avila was fired a couple years ago. So, you know, Hinch is just that well regarded that they had to keep him. And I think Alex Cora is up there. I'm not, again, we kind of hit on him a little bit in the last episode, but I think there are teams that are going to be extremely motivated to get Alex Cora. And a couple of things, he's got the World Series under his belt. Well, two really, if you want to count as a bench coach with the Astros. And then one of Cora's best strengths is handling the media. Like, you can trust him out there with all those microphones in his face. So, you know, he's very well regarded that way. So it's possible for the Astros.
Well, on to another team that I think would make a lot of Red Sox fans shudder, but they are on the list, and I think it's worthy to have them on there. The New York Yankees. Jeremy, how do you feel about that one?
I've already told you I want him to be a Red Sox. How do you think I feel? Not good. This would be painful. This would be painful. I think he's certainly a top. I think he's a top five manager. I don't think I'm getting a lot of disagreement at 10, top 10. And if you have one of those guys, I'd keep him and I'd focus more on the roster building aspect of it. If he goes to the Yankees, one, I'll be butthurt. I'll just admit it right now. I'll be butthurt. They seem committed to winning. It's not, you know, the Steinbrenner years where they just spend and do literally whatever it takes. Hal is a lot more conservative, at least by his father's standards.
Spineless.
But they're... Look, they went out and got Soto. They got some injury early with Cole. You know, it's kind of unlucky. But they're committed to winning still. Not like they used to be. And they've got a ton of talent. Some of it's aging. Giancarlo Stanton's, you know, on the wrong side of his peak years, as an example. But they've underperformed based on the talent. And at the outset, I said any team that has a bad finish, or, you know, the talent doesn't meet where they finish at the end, is an option. And I think the Yankees are prime real estate for that to happen. They have fallen short year in and year out. They're going to fall short this year. They don't have the horses. And I just wouldn't be surprised in the least if they went out and found a way to make Alex Cora a deal that he could come and compete right away, which is, he's going to have that option available to him. So this is a high chance. I, like I said, I think the Astros would be the candidate right now based on where they are in the standings. But when the Yankees inevitably fall short, Aaron Boone's been a punching bag. I think this is one of the higher options.
Terry.
I don't view this as a high potential landing spot. Hal Steinbrenner, I'm starting to wonder if his dad really was George Steinbrenner. I mean, he's just not like night and day. Cashman should have been fired years ago, probably in 2015 or 16. He never would have. This is what I think he became the GM in, what, 1995? So it was in the 90s. Let's put it that way. So it's coming up on 25 or 30 years that Brian Cashman has been the general manager of the New York Yankees. And I don't think he's that bright. I mean, look at some of these contracts. They gave a 7-year deal to Aaron Hicks, who had never played more than 120 games in a season. The Ellsbury deal, I mean, they were the suckers on that one. We knew someone would be. DJ LeMahieu at 34 years old got a 5 or 6 year deal. The Stanton trade, I think, was kind of dumb at the time. I think Cashman is just not a top five or maybe a lower top 10 GM, but not a guy I would want to play for. But I think Aaron Boone is a very popular figure, you know, within the Yankees organization. I think Hal Steinbrenner loves Aaron Boone. The players like him. He hasn't lost the clubhouse. That's why Joe Girardi got fired. He lost the clubhouse. So he got tossed. Boone came in. And if they make the playoffs this year, I didn't have them as a playoff team. but they're looking like a playoff team. And if they have a decent run in October, I just think Boone is staying. And here's the thing. I mean, Alex Cora as a player didn't really endear himself to the Red Sox. He didn't have a signature moment. Boone had one hell of a signature moment in New York. And I just don't see it happening.
That's not a reason to keep a guy as the manager.
No. Well, I'll simplify it right here. I don't think they're going to want to fire Boone, and I don't think Alex Cora is going to want to go there. So I just don't see it.
I thought I looked this up, Terry. His contract expires as a club option for next year, so they don't have to fire him. They just have to not pick up the option.
I think that's just a formality. I don't think they're really worried about the...
But there's no dead money. They're not firing him. The problem... So the type of owners that... I was just going to cross sports, but I won't. But the problem with owners that don't want to spend money is they fire a coach with 3 years left. They still got to pay him. That wouldn't be the case with Aaron Boone. And you can look, Cashman's been a on again, off again punching bag, and I get that. And there's certainly plenty of reasons, and you named three really good examples as to why he should be a punching bag. But at least they're trying. At least they're giving effort. At least every year they're trying to field a World Series competitive team. And I think it's that reason why this would be a job that Alex Cora would look at and say, considering where I'm leaving, at least I know while I'm there, they're going to try to win. I mean, some of the decisions may not work out, but the decisions are going to be for the best interest of the big league club in that given year. I mean, I don't think you disagree with that.
I don't question their commitment to winning. I just don't think they have the IQ to build that winner is the problem.
What? Okay, let me pose a question. What if they fire Cashman and the new GM is the person in charge of the next job and they ask Alex Cora to interview? Does that change your perspective?
It would increase the chances a little more.
Especially because they're off to a good start. If they fall short, Boone doesn't have dead money. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
That puts this as a higher possibility.
I just don't think Boone's probably making, Cora's making $3 million. I'm guessing Boone's, let's say, 3 to 5. I just don't think that the Yankees would have a problem eating that money if they really wanted Alex Cora. I just think it's a formality, really, more than anything.
All right.
It assuming the regime is somewhat the same, Cashman's still there, and it's they still do the typical Yankee thing where, yes, they're aggressive, yes, they want to win, but they're kind of stupidly aggressive. Terry laid out all the bad contracts they've handed out. They've spent a ton of money. They just haven't spent it in the right places. And they're probably not going to be able to keep Soto. I don't know how good their prospect pool is. I think they've got some guys coming up that could be interesting. But when you look at it, the selling point of the Yankees is Aaron Judge, who's on the wrong side of 30, and Gerrit Cole, who's on the wrong side of 30. And, I just don't think the roster is going to be what Cora is going to be looking for. And keep in mind, too, like, it's a small thing, but if Verdugo is still there, Cora's not going to want to coach that a-hole again. Like, forget about it. I get what you're saying, that, like, yes, they do spend, yes, they care about winning, that does appeal to Cora, but I think the way they go about it is not his style at all. And I think that there are better options.
Jason, can I chime in quickly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having heard your good points, I changed my mind.
I was going to say, in the fraction of a 1% chance Aaron Boone ever heard this episode, he'd be on his phone to Cashman right away. Listen, we got to extend Verdugo. Yeah, just give him give him 3 years, $60 million.
Yeah, let's give him another year or two. It'd be great. Yeah, job security for me. Yeah.
That doesn't happen often, Jason. It's hard for me to change my mind. Once I go a direction, I'm pretty set on that path. But you're right. You're right. Verdugo is an issue, and you're right on the roster. It's aging, and there are spots there that are going to be a problem in the next maybe even year. So, all right. I agree. I lower the chance that he goes to the Yankees.
It's okay. Verdugo has that effect on people. So, it's it's understandable. So next up on the list, another big market team out west, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Terry, how do you feel about those chances?
I'm never going to be able to write them off. I'm a little bit more skeptical than most people because the analytics department makes so many decisions, and I don't think Cora wants to be a puppet by any means. And David Ross, in an interview, he was asked about some scenario, why didn't you start this guy or something? And he goes, well, I wanted to do this, but I'm just one vote in this organization. And it was actually Dusty Baker that told that story, actually, when comparing the Astros and the Dodgers front offices, because the Astros are a little bit similar. I don't think they're quite as hardcore. So that's my skepticism. If Alex Cora can walk in there and convince them to be like, I need to do this mostly my way, I'll be diplomatic. I'll listen to what you have to say, but I want to be solely responsible for the decisions that get made down there. Now, if he gains leverage that way, and then they give him the record deal, if it's equal to Craig Counsell or more, I could see it happening. I'd say it's probably 50%. That's where I'm putting it.
Jeremy.
Yeah, that's two things would have to happen here, in my opinion. Ownership would have to concede some control, and he'd have to get paid. I think he's going to get paid either way. I think he's going to make a lot of money as far as manager salary goes, but he's earned it to a certain extent to not walk into a position to be told how to handle things. Like, and he's the personality that isn't going to like that. And we've already shown how he'll complain about things, and he'll do it intellectually and maybe a little bit passive aggressively, but what he's talking about. And for an organization like the Dodgers that likes to have control, I don't think they're going to go for that. So, based on the talent alone, it would be a home run. But with the other factors, I lower the percentage significantly, and I would put them still below the Astros.
Yeah, I think for me, the percentage hovers around 50% that he could go there. The Dodgers would obviously have to fall short this year and not win the World Series again, because if they win it, then, stay the course. Who cares who the manager is? You've got so much talent, it doesn't matter. The talent's definitely there. They definitely spend the money. I don't know if I feel like him and the analytics department would butt heads, because we've seen that here. He butts heads with the analytics department in Boston. And he is very much he doesn't just go with the flow. He definitely has his own way that he wants to do things. Whereas I think the way the Dodgers are doing it right now is just spend all the money, bring in all the talent, let them carry you to the World Series. We don't need a manager pushing too many buttons and getting in the way. So I feel like Cora would, I feel like that wouldn't gel very well. So I still think there's a chance, because again, just the talent, the location, there's not much pressure out there. It's LA, nobody cares really. So I think that would appeal to him. But the other aspects, the analytic department, and just him being a guy that wants to push the buttons and kind of be involved, I just don't know if it'd be the best fit.
Well, if they win, there's no chance, because their model in their mind is going to, it works, right? So we pay for the best talent. We follow the analytics. it wouldn't even make sense. I mean, and they would further dig themselves in that path moving forward. So totally agree on that aspect of it.
Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right.
Just a couple nuggets. He did come up with the Dodgers. He spent, I think, the first 4, 5, 6 years of his career with them, something like that. So he's familiar with that market. He's lived there. So that could be either appealing or unappealing to him, however he feels about it. And then an interesting thing I just thought of, he mentioned, you know, wanting to be in a front office someday, a GM. But I think given the Craig Counsell deal, and we're going to keep that name's going to keep coming up, you know, for as long as we mention Alex Cora for the rest of the year, $40 million over 5 years. I don't think there's a GM in baseball that's making that. And I've got a really, it appears to be very old because it lists Dan Duquette, and he hasn't been the top executive in Baltimore since I think 2017 or 2018. So assuming that this article is that old, Brian Cashman at that time was the highest paid at $5 million a year. Now, maybe because it's the Yankees, maybe he is much higher than that, but it all went down after that. Some of them were only making $2 million a year. So because managers' contracts are going up, I'm wondering if maybe Alex Cora isn't interested in a front office role for the foreseeable future. Maybe he's just going to follow the money and stay in the dugout.
He doesn't seem like that type of person. Right? Like, do you think Alex Cora is going to make his final decision based on the almighty dollar? Like, he's going to make money. He doesn't strike me as that type of person.
Well, let's look at it this way. If he goes into a front office as an executive, he's not going to get a record-breaking deal right away with no experience. So he's not automatically going to be the top guy. So I think he's going to start out at a lower salary. And I just think, let's just say $2 million versus $10 million. I think he stays in the dugout at that point.
Well, so if he gets a GM offer at $2 million and a dugout position at $10 million, I mean,
I think that's how it's going to be, unless he can.
I'm talking if it's close, $1 million or $2 million less, like I think he would choose the best position.
I agree.
For him to move his family and for him to manage or general manage a consistently winning product, but.
I agree. I just think we're seeing a massive inflation, you know, in manager salaries is all.
Fair enough.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a good point. I mean, manager salaries are going up. Craig Counsell kind of set the bar for that. So, you know, if he gets a whopping offer to be in a dugout again, yeah, I wouldn't blame him for taking that either. I would take the money too. All right, next team on the list, the other side of the subway there in New York, the New York Mets. Jeremy, how do you feel about that destination?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That franchise is cursed. I don't know what the specific curse is, but they can't get it right. It doesn't seem like a fit. It's disorganized. You were talking about the Yankees and bad contracts, and you know, I just don't see it. Not enough young talent. You know, I don't think they're competitive. I don't think they're a manager away from taking that leap. You know, I just don't see it. So for me, this isn't, again, and I'm jaded because I like Alex Cora to somehow stay, which isn't going to happen. But I don't think he'd make that. Again, unless he is going on money and they back up a Brinks truck, I just don't see it.
Terry.
I'm trying to find the Mets CEO's name, CBO. Is it David Stern? I could be wrong. He was the longtime Brewers GM. I get him mixed up with John Daniels for some reason.
It is David Stearns.
Yeah. David Stearns. Okay. he did a great job with the Brewers. Brought them. They had this. I think they made the playoffs in 2008 when they traded for Sabathia. And they, other than that, it was a super long drought. He really built that team into a contender, especially from the pitching side. So now that he's with the Mets, I think he brings that organization a lot of credibility. Like, there's been no executive there in the last 10, 15 years that has the track record he does. However, Steve Cohen, the owner of the Mets, is the closest thing to George Steinbrenner since George Steinbrenner in terms of a volatile personality. Tough guy to deal with, short fuse. I thought Buck Showalter was an amazing fit with the Mets, and he did get them into the postseason in his first year. And then the second year, it didn't go well. It got pretty turbulent with Steve Cohen, and Showalter was out at the end of the year. And I think Showalter was like, thank goodness, thank goodness I'm out of here. And there was one controversy, I think it was mid to late season, where Cohen had gone down to the clubhouse area and was just berating Showalter and a couple of the coaches. And then Showalter steps in and he goes, hey, I got to go do my press conference. And Cohen says, yeah, go do your bleeping press conference. And I'm like, the disrespect to one of the most respected baseball minds in baseball. I don't think Alex Cora is going to want to work for Steve Cohen. And I think Stearns, as long as Cohen kind of stays out of it and doesn't, you know, saddle them down with some crazy deals, I think Stearns can build a contender, but I don't think Alex Cora is going to want to be a part of it.
So Stearns definitely helps to balance out the psycho owner for sure, but he doesn't balance him out enough. Cohen's just one of these, he's like the Jerry Jones of baseball. He's just way too involved to a fault. And that team, like, I just looked up their top prospects. I didn't recognize half the names. And one of them, I own, you know, Luis Angel Acuna, I only recognized because they got him from the Rangers in that trade last year. Most of their top prospects are not recognizable guys. Like, they don't have that next wave coming. And the Lindor contract, I don't know how that's going to age. They've got him till he's like 38. He's already kind of looking like he's on the decline.
It's going to age poorly.
Yeah, probably. And Pete Alonso is out of there. Like, he might be out of there midway through this season if they really tank and they get trade calls about him. So they're about to lose their most recognizable superstar, one of them anyway. So it's just kind of looking like the Mets are headed for a real bad time coming up soon. I think that they're in for some tough years up ahead, and it's, you know, there's some appeal. It's a big market. You know, I think baseball would be better off if the Mets were good again, but they're a long way away. And I think they're too far away for Alex Cora's patience. I just don't think between the owner and between the way the roster is shaped up and the way it looks in the near future, I don't think that he's going to want to deal with that. So I'm sure the Mets will throw a bag of money at him, which might be hard for him to resist. But I think if he looks at the grand scope, he's just going to say, no, I'm good. So sticking in the National League East, this team might surprise some of you, but we decided to throw it on there. The Washington Nationals. Terry, how do you feel about the Nationals as a destination?
Well, we're getting into the dark horse part of the list, so I'm not saying this is extremely likely, but he did finish his career there, and their rebuild is about over. Like, a lot of their top prospects are up. They can probably start spending money here as early as this coming winter, and I think it's the perfect time to jump in there. I forget their manager's name. Dave used to be a player, but the only thing that gives me pause is, you know, their current manager is the same one that they won the World Series with, and Dave Martinez, I think, is who it was. But Yeah, so I don't know, but like I said, Alex Cora is the type of candidate that teams will fire their managers for, and they've got the best farm system in MLB, so it's a perfect landing spot in terms of, you know, what the future looks like.
Jeremy.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to know a lot about the program over there. Alex Cora is smart enough to evaluate the big league talent, the talent in the pipeline. And if the Nationals present an opportunity for continued success, I think it's a possibility.
I think for the Nationals, there's one factor that could really appeal to Alex Cora, and that's Mike Rizzo. Mike Rizzo has been their GM for a long time. He's been the GM since 2009. He was there for the World Series year. He built that World Series team. They just signed him to a multi-year extension this year, or back in 2023. So there's stability. There's a lot of stability in Washington with the way they're building it, the way they built the championship team, and then they sort of trusted Rizzo to say, okay, we can't keep all these guys. Let's blow it up. Let's rebuild the farm. He did that pretty quickly. And as Terry said, their rebuild is pretty much over. Most of their big, you know, prospect guys, they're up now. Guys like CJ Abrams and Mackenzie Gore, they're up and they're playing and they're contributing. So Rizzo did a good job of building a World Series team, recognizing that the window was closing, blowing it up, restarting. And now the Nationals, I'm not telling you they're going to go to the playoffs this year, but they're not a joke. They're not a dumpster diver team. So I think for Cora, that could appeal to him in terms of just having a stable GM who knows when to be aggressive and to go for winning ball players and when to reset, blow it up, rebuild the farm, and start over. That being said, I don't know how high on the list I put them, because I don't know if Washington wants a guy like Cora, who, again, just, you know, he prides himself on being just the button pusher and sort of, you know, one of the head honchos there. And I don't know if that's necessarily how Washington runs it, but I think the stability that Mike Rizzo brings could be very appealing to him. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility whatsoever. I think that they've got a good thing going there in Washington. So if they can offer him a good contract and, you know, convince him that, hey, we got a good program here, I could definitely see him at least taking an interview with them and just kind of seeing how that goes. So definitely a possibility there. Also in the National League on our list, another dark horse candidate, the Cincinnati Reds. Jeremy, how do you feel about Cincinnati?
They've got some good young talent, and they're exciting to watch. They really are. And I think it would be intriguing for Cora. Again, I'm not going to pretend to understand their ownership and management, but if I'm looking at the big league product, you know, De La Cruz is just unbelievable. I mean, he feels like the type of player that could be a professional athlete in one or two other sports. And obviously it's not just about one player, but they feel close. So, you know, again, I would, pending money, I think it's a real possibility.
Terry.
Yeah, I mean, it's a long shot, but it is a team that's appealing in terms of having a really strong young core of players. And I mean, the National League Central was one of the hardest divisions to pick this year. I think most of us went with the Cubs, but there's not one team where it's a slam dunk. This team's going to win it. And I had the standings up. I guess I lost them. But the Reds are, I think, a few games above 500. Got it right here. Yeah, they're 14-11. So they're third in the NL Central, just 2.5 games behind the Brewers, who are surprising right now, given, you know, some of the talent that they lost and their manager, by the way. But yeah, so I mean, I wouldn't be as shocked as a lot of people if that ended up happening, but again, still somewhat of a dark horse.
I think there's one big reason why this won't happen. Bad ownership. The Reds owner, Bob Castellini, is not a good dude. And he has talked openly about wanting to sell the team at times. He's talked openly about, well, who are you going to sell it to? Nobody cares about this product. I mean, he's one of the more volatile owners out there. He has traded away good players just because he just stopped caring. He's like, well, the team's not going anywhere, so, you know, let's just punt. So they've got some exciting young players for now because they're cheap and they're controllable. When guys like Ellie De La Cruz and Hunter Green come up for their first big contract, that guy's going to get in the way. So I just think for that reason, I don't think Alex Cora is going to want to be a manager for another bad owner. At least this owner is more attentive, but he's more attentive in the wrong ways. So I just think for that reason, Cincinnati is one of those teams that, again, it'd be nice to see them get back on the map because they're one of the more historic franchises out there, but that guy just continues to get in the way. So I don't think Alex Cora is going to want to touch that job with a 10-foot pole. Lots of talent, you know, good pipeline, but I think the owner is going to be too much for him. So it's a long shot. Maybe if the owner, you know, gets ousted and there's a regime change, maybe then, but I think it's a long shot. So last team on our list here, we're going back to the National League East. It is the Atlanta Braves. Terry, how do you feel about Atlanta as a potential destination?
Well, it's an interesting possibility. Brian Snitker has been their manager now for, I don't know, the last 6, 7, 8 years. He's got 1 year left on his deal, so the timing isn't perfect, but he is 68 years old. I think he turns 69 this October, and I could see a scenario where he steps aside, takes a job, you know, within the front office as a consultant or whatever, if Alex Cora becomes available. And I think the Braves is the most appealing team right now in Major League Baseball. Name a bad contract on that team. You look at the Red Sox, we've got some dead money. You know, Yoshida's trending that way. We're giving Rafaela an extension for some reason. You don't see any of those shenanigans. Alex Anthopoulos is the best executive in Major League Baseball. So, and, you know, Atlanta, not that far. Short plane ride to Puerto Rico. Probably get there within an hour by plane. So I'm not saying it's a possibility. I mean, maybe Snitker wants to manage another 3 or 4 years. And I think he could manage there as long as he wants. But there were interviews last fall where he was like, I don't think I want to do this forever. And, you know, he's getting older. And the other thing, too, I mean, the Braves have underperformed in the playoffs the last couple of years. I mean, I thought they were going to win the World Series last year, and then the Phillies bounced them for the second year in a row. Not that that was a massive upset, but yeah. So I think if the Braves came calling, I think this would be instantly right at the top of Alex Cora's list. I want to manage Ronald Acuna, Matt Olson. I don't know if they're going to keep Max Fried. Spencer Strider probably won't be back until the second half next year. But long term, this is a very sustainable organization. And who wouldn't want to manage in Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. And the trust that they're going to make those similar decisions moving forward. So if there's young talent and they value it, they're going to get out ahead of the bus and they're going to make good decisions with the money. I mean, I agree, Terry, 100% with what you're saying. If this job becomes available, I would put Alex Cora as potentially the front runner.
I mean, what is there not to like about that job? They draft well. They pay their guys early. They don't have dumb contracts. They make good trades at the right time. You know, the Matt Olson trade, Sean Murphy, stuff like that. So they just, it's just such a well-run organization, and it's the type of thing where they could be, it's like a dynasty type of situation, unless they screw it up, unless they get in their own way. But they've got the talent, they've got the infrastructure, they still have a good pipeline of young players. There's nothing to not like there. So, you know, if that job does become available, if Snickers says, you know what, I'm done, I'm good, you know, that's enough for me, that should be Alex Cora's first phone call. You know, even if the Houston job is available, like, you know, I think for Alex Cora, that's like dream scenario. You have to pick between Houston and Atlanta. And if I were him, I'd take Atlanta over Houston, as much as that might be a tough call. But Atlanta's just, they just have so much going on there. It'd be hard to say no.
Yeah, 100%. And to that end, one thing that could be an issue is I think literally everyone would want the job. So he would face the stiffest competition to get that job. And that would be, I think, potentially the biggest hurdle.
I don't know who that would be, though. I mean, surely there are some respectable names out there, but I mean, Cora has the resume. And here's another thing, too. What if a deal gets worked out? Okay, Snicker has one more year. Alex Cora would be like, you know what? I'd love to spend a year with my family. Let's do this for 2026 and beyond. I think that could be a possibility. But one of my favorite things about Alex Anthopoulos was he had the balls to let Freddie Freeman walk. And he had a plan. He traded for Matt Olson, extended him, gave him like a 6 or 8 year deal. It was worth $168 million. I don't remember how many years. But, and I think Braves fans were skeptical, but by the end of April or May, that first year, they bought in. And this organization has been a wagon. So
part of that was luck, though, because if you recall, about a month into last year, it was announced, or someone figured it out, that Freddie Freeman's agent didn't provide him the details of the contract offer. And he then subsequently fired his agent just after he signed the Dodgers deal because he actually wanted to be in Atlanta. And it sounds like he would have taken the deal if he knew about it, but the agents never told him.
That's true. That is true. But nonetheless, I mean, Freeman went away and Anthopoulos came up with a solution that...
No, that part of it, 100%, but there was a little bit of... And look, Freeman was there, he's still a good player. I mean, it wouldn't have been...
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers aren't... You know, there's no remorse on the Dodgers' part for signing a guy that was already 33 years old and giving him, you know, a lengthy deal, 5 or 6 years. Freddie Freeman's one of my favorite players. If I had a top five list of non-Red Sox players, he would be on it. And... You know, so I think both sides kind of won, but it was just impressive to watch that all unfold the way it did. And
that part I agree with. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and to pivot to Matt Olson and then swindle the Athletics the way he did. I mean, none of the players he sent to Oakland have panned out. I mean, one of them was Christian Pache. He was, I think, one of the headliners of that deal. He's with the Phillies now. Oakland DFA'd him and he just hasn't worked out. Another one of the guys they sent was that Shea Langeliers, who we saw, who Rafaela made the great catch on. And, you know, decent player.
He's been okay this year, but yeah.
Yeah. So.
And I think they kind of fleeced him for Chris Murphy, didn't they? Not Chris Murphy. I'm so bad with names tonight. What is Sean his Murphy. First name? Oh, it is Sean Murphy. Right.
Sean.
Yeah. So they, yeah, man, he just. Here's the painful thing. Go back to 2015. The Red Sox fire Sherrington. 2015 was the last year in Toronto for Anthopoulos. If the Red Sox just waited 3 more months, they could have had Anthopoulos. I'm not saying, you know, I mean, we want a ring with Dombrowski, but if long-term sustainability is something you covet, man, Anthopoulos would have been nice.
Yeah, definitely.
Let me ask you guys a question. Can we each pick a team?
I was actually just about to say, yeah, you know, before we wrap this up, let's go around. You know, gun to your head, if you had to put money on it today, who does Alex Cora manage in? Let's just say he doesn't take a year off. Who does Alex Cora manage in 2025? Jeremy, I'll start you off.
So until you said gun to head, I was actually going to go with the Red Sox just to be different. But then you said if there's a little literal gun to my head, Astros.
Terry.
This is a boring answer, but I said 50% with the Dodgers, and I can't get to 50% with any other team. So I'm going to have to just go with the Dodgers.
I initially was going to say Dodgers, but seeing what's going on in Houston this year, I think they could actually be headed for a pretty bad season that isn't going to turn around. And I think they're going to make a big splash because of that. So I'm going to say Houston.
Can I pick a second place?
Yeah.
TV for a year.
Yeah, take a year off.
I think it's going to be the Astros or a year on TV and let it play out. And then he's really going to have the pick of what he wants to do.
Could be. He's familiar with that role. So, and why not? You know,
he's good in it.
He is good at it. And, you know, especially with all the frustration he's been through in Boston recently, like I wouldn't blame him for just wanting to take a year off and just kick his feet up, see what shakes loose and have his pick at it in 2026. So I think that's a very real possibility as well. So, but we've got some time until those decisions are made. So we still got a full season ahead of us with Alex Cora. So I would say, I guess, enjoy it while it lasts because this might be it. We'll see what happens next year and beyond, but certainly not too early to start at least speculating about it. So anyway, hope you all enjoyed the episode. Keep an eye out for our other shows coming out this weekend. We'll be recapping the Cubs series on Monday morning. So keep your eye out for that. Everyone have a nice weekend. We'll talk to you later. Take care.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.